We shipwreck on the streaming seas once more this week as we take a break from film for a tie-in series to the legendary MonsterVerse. Can this somewhat side quest of a monster miniseries make a splash in the universe, or will we have to wait for a legacy of monsters? Only one way to find out as we strap on our life preservers and swim for land. This is Kaiju vs. History, Skull Island.
Welcome back to Kaiju vs. History. This is your cryptid chasing captain, my captain, Patrick, here. Joining me is a lobster that looks like a rock. He's some kind of rock lobster. It's Miles. Hey, Miles.
Hey.
Hey. Miles, welcome to not a necessarily a kaiju-focused project here, but Skull Island. We finally have a series dedicated just to the place itself.
But yeah, which is an interesting choice. I get it for a side. Like, if you want something that you can make, you know, like Jurassic World has that Camp Cretaceous or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I get wanting some, like, that kind of content, especially legendary Netflix wanting that kind of content. But it is an odd choice to have, you know, a Skull Island show that really doesn't focus immediately on Kong. And that
he's in episode, like, four?
Yeah, and I didn't make it that far.
Oh, no.
honestly, nothing more than just December is a nightmare of a month for scheduling. And so I fit this in when I could, and I watched the first three episodes. And, you know, it was interesting because I remember when the show was announced, and it kind of fell on deaf ears, as a lot of their stuff of this type does. Because didn't they also put out that other Kong show?
Which one?
The CGI one we watched?
Well, Netflix did, but I don't know if it's the same production company. Yeah.
No. I meant Netflix.
Yeah, I think they purchased it. I don't know if it was originally.
Original? Okay.
It's been a while. You'll have to go back and listen to that episode, fans.
Nope. I'm not doing that. But before we move on, Patrick, tell us what's in a title for this 2023 animated series?
I mean, it's called Skull Island. Sometimes, Miles, the island is shaped like a skull. Other times, it has skull-like features.
Yeah.
I feel like in Kong Skull Island, the 2017 film, it kind of has a skull-like shape on the map. Am I remembering that correctly?
I think so. Or it's a cave. I don't remember, to be perfectly honest.
Or they find giant skulls. Or no, it's kind of, well, I'm looking at maps of it now. It kind of looks like a skull shape. There's like a dome side and kind of two large lakes. But yeah, that's usually where it comes from. I want to say the original King Kong was going to call it something different. The 1933 film was going to have it set somewhere differently. But Skull Island is just a great classic pulp, you know, name for a location like this. But yeah, not much else to the title. This has released internationally under the same title in several places. I am surprised, and maybe a little, I guess it is truth in advertising that they didn't call this Kong Skull Island, the animated series or something along those lines, because like I said, Kong is not a major part of this. It is about humans and particularly teens, like exploring and kind of Johnny Quest style experiencing the horrors of Skull Island. I will say, though, this is a tie-in to the legendary MonsterVerse, and it takes place in the 1990s. Is that right?
That is, I think, correct.
And I guess that is a good amount of time. That's like 20 years removed from the 2017 movie. Mm-hmm. But we get no real tie-ins with that island that we see in that movie. You know, that had a whole native population. Spoilers, they are not in the animated series. They find like spears and things on the beach in like the second episode, but I don't think the native Eiji people are here. we don't see really any of the same monsters either. Were you surprised by that? That it's all brand new monsters.
Yeah, a little bit, but I mean, it still kind of felt like more of one of those island fantasy movies that has crazy creatures rather than really a kaiju. Like those like little beach crabs are, they're larger than, you know, a normal crab for sure. They're large creatures, but like they're not even bigger than the crab in Love and Monsters.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, we do get some large creatures. You have that one little like crystalline snail thing and, you know, obviously the squid and the octopus, which is a very weird thing because it feels like there's two creatures attacking their boat.
It feels like creatures that would exist in Skull Island. So they have that. I guess there is later on in the series a skull crawler. But so many new creatures, including one, this dog like creature that has befriended the girl that lives on the island. Annie. Kind of feels like almost a King Caesar throwback. Lion-faced dog bear.
I enjoyed him quite a bit.
Also,
I will say this: the entire time she was talking about like, oh well, where's my dog? I legit thought she was talking about Kong.
No, she's got a big dog. There's crazy crocodile creatures and all kinds of weird bits and bobs on this island. But yeah, like you said, it does feel like just a you know, fantasy island situation of monsters, whereas that we've already seen that several times. But I think what people wanted, what I wanted, was more Kong, more kaiju interaction, and just not really what we got. This is the same production studio, the Netflix partner, Powerhouse Animation, who has worked with Netflix on the Kevin Smith Masters of the Universe show, the Castlevania series. There's a Tomb Raider animated series that they did. And this one, I think probably maybe they knew it was only going to be one season. I don't know. I guess they hoped for more. But the Jacob Robinson, one of the creators of this show, talked about in an interview with butwhytho.com, you know, the series has already done some pretty incredible visual kaiju battles. His inspiration for wanting to do the show was, what if we did Goonies on Skull Island? And the major influences besides King Kong were Jurassic Park also. So, you know, those kind of creature feature films. You know, I feel like they have that feel, but
sure.
Pacing wise, this series just feels like a longer movie, kind of chopped up a bit, you know, like,
yeah,
do we get to Skull Island in episode one? Like, do they wash ashore?
They wash ashore at the end of one. You see the
there's
giant
so footprint. Much on the boat, the boats.
Yeah, that first episode is a little, I mean, it works only because you're on a streaming platform, so you can easily go to the next episode.
Yeah. Like,
I would not have advised that for anything else, you know?
Yeah. Can you imagine if this was a standard animated show and you had to wait a week after that episode, you'd be like, I'm not coming back.
Right.
The episode number one is called Maritime Pilot, which is kind of a fun title, but it's really just introducing characters, and it's like 20 to 30 minutes of of that. We're like, okay, well, episode two, they'll get to the island and we'll see Kong, right? No. Incorrect. I think Kong only shows up about halfway through the series.
I just wasn't at all. Like, so here's the thing about this series is, like, you know, it does feel a lot like you mentioned, like Johnny Quest, very, very real Adventures of Johnny Quest, very not dissimilar to some of the ideas that play in the last Kong show, where you have like,
yes,
you know, these kind of two families. You have two dads who are both researchers looking for like cryptids, basically. And they have their sons along. One son wants to go to college. Their son's pretty happy just doing what they're doing. And that's kind of the crux of the first like 5 minutes of the show, is you get all this information. And at the same time, you have this girl, Annie, who is escaping from this heavily armed guarded like ship. It kind of feels very Stranger Things-y in that respect. Like, there's something up with her. She's the key to something. We have no idea what. And she escapes, washes Charlie, the kind of semi-protagonist, you know, notice it, sees her afloat in the ocean, jumps in to save her, and that kind of becomes the catalyst of everything that happens. I will say this, I found the scripting pretty solid. The dialogue was pretty snappy. It was funny when it was trying to be funny. I felt like it was pretty sophisticated, like in terms of its dialogue. I was pretty happy with it.
Yeah.
That said, I found the kind of the plotting very disappointing.
Yeah, yeah. The you know, like I said, I think if you watch this as one continuous movie, it might work a little bit better as a 8-episode series. And these episodes were short, right? They were not.
They're not very long. They're like 20 to 25 minutes.
Yeah. So I mean, that's like what. Two and a half hours with all of them put together, maybe yeah, that
thereabouts. It's not gonna eat up a ton of your time. It is well written. I liked the characters. I liked they had the guts to kill off one of the fathers in the first 20 minutes. That was okay, cool. And they don't do it in a way that, like, some shows would just be like, oh, well, you know, he got whacked or he fell in a volcano. It's like, no, he gets crushed and you see the blood, you see the cracked glasses. Like, they don't play games with that, but they still try to make it somewhat of a, I would say, a PG-13 level show. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one curses or anything like that. But I did find the attack on their boat to be very confusing because you have all these squid arms pop up and then you have a giant octopus arm popping up. And I'm like, these aren't the same creature. and we only see the one creature, but I'm like, it literally can't be. These are two different types of arms from two different types of creatures. They're even different colors, but for whatever reason, we don't ever see, I think, the red squid. We just see the giant octopus.
Is listed in the movie as Kraken. So it's both like tentacles and kind of vine like thing. It's a bunch of stuff. In the show.
Yeah, it didn't work for me at all.
None of them are great.
No, and that's where the show starts to fall apart a little bit, is kind of in its monster delivery.
Yeah, a lot of the smaller monsters on the island, they reminded me of just like, what if Pokemon smoke crack? So there's like an aloe turtle. There's a grass hedgehog, which looks like a dog with like hedgehog stuff on the back. A lot of creature designs that reminded me of the 1999 or whatever Godzilla animated TV series.
Yeah, I can absolutely see that. No, the aloe turtle I thought was great because he turns back and looks at the two humans and is like, I don't know what your problem is, but I'm getting out of here.
So he might as well have looked at the camera and been like, why did you summon me into existence?
Right.
Believe it or not, it has pretty good reviews on Rotten Tomatoes.
It seems well-liked by fans. And here's the thing, and I will say this, like, for the kind of show it is, it's really good. I think what makes it disappointing is that it is a, you know, an official MonsterVerse show that does not utilize its status as an official MonsterVerse show very well.
Well, you know, hindsight being 2020, we have another MonsterVerse TV series coming up in Legacy of Monsters, and that does utilize it pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
There's still stuff that leaves out, but this movie, yeah, I mean, it has King Kong in it, and it just, the Skull Island feels like a different Skull Island from the movie. This is the only MonsterVerse project, Miles, that has no mention of Monarch, this organization that ties together the entire universe. They're just not here. And if this takes place in the 90s, when did they start building that giant dome, you know, over Skull Island? I guess the early 2000s or somewhere in there. Like, when do they come back to the island? But yeah, I feel like they missed out on a lot of things.
They don't discover Monarch doesn't officially go back to Skull Island until like the 2014 era, right?
I don't know. When did they build that dome?
I don't know, man.
But they... Oh, we might get interested in that, actually, in Legacy of Monsters Season 2. I think Kong is going to play a part in that.
So. Yeah.
But yeah, one of the other showrunners, Ryan Duffield, took to Twitter after the show, I think, came out. And after it was canceled, said that, you know, in Season 2, if they had gotten a season 2 of this, it would have been about the Hollow Earth, which of course we see in Godzilla v. Kong. But he says it would be about Hollow Earth without ever going down into it. Why? You have animation. You can do whatever you want. You decide not to go to Hollow Earth?
I don't know. I like Brian Duffy. He actually, you know, it's funny because I compared this to Love and Monsters. He wrote the script for Love and Monsters.
Yep.
And I think Dwarf did some work on Predator Badlands. He also directed one of my favorite movies of 2020, Spontaneous, as well as Underwater, which I very much loved. So
a lot of kaiju adjacent stuff, including next year he's doing, I think you read the book, Whalefall.
Whalefall, yeah.
About the diver that gets swallowed by a sperm whale. Yeah. And
I know we went back and forth. Are we not doing Underwater?
No.
Oh, what a mistake. we have done worse movies for less. And that movie has an awesome payoff. Have you seen Underwater?
I know of it just because I looked at it for the film.
It's a blast. Series, I love that movie. Yeah. I think that was my last theatrical before COVID.
The Pando. I'm pretty sure mine was
might have been Birds of Prey.
I think it was Birds of Prey, yeah, because I remember seeing that with my wife. And enjoying it a great deal. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I love both those movies. So if we're not going to do it, yes, go watch this, Underwater.
This series, though, because it's so disconnected, could be entirely skipped if you're trying to get all of the MonsterVerse.
All the MonsterVerse stuff.
It doesn't need to be enjoyed.
That said, as a fantasy kind of adventure show, it's not bad. It's well written. It's
as a little side quest. If you want to watch these 8 episodes, I invite you to do it.
Yeah, I would agree.
Don't have to.
I like these general animation. I hate their Kong design so much. I think he looks like trash.
Pretty simple.
But yeah, I will say I liked the writing a good deal on this show.
We don't typically rate animated or TV series, I should say, the same way we do movies, just because they're different genres, you know, different
unless worlds. Me feel super strongly like Godzilla Singular Point, where I'm like, you watch this show at 10 out of 10 all the way.
Well, I think we rate them as far as just our general kind of enjoyment goes. Mine's pretty low on this one. I gave it a 6 out of 10. I think if you are a Kong completionist, it's worth watching. Or if you do enjoy the other Kong animated series or Godzilla animated series, it's very simple and very easy watch. You know, I'm not going to hate on you if you're just wanting to put something on the background. What about you, Miles? Where is this?
I'm a little kinder than you. I'm giving it a healthy 7 just because I think, yes, I agree with you on all the MonsterVerse Kong fronts. But I think just as a fantasy adventure series, it is very fun. It's very well written. I like the characters. I generally like the animation style. It's done in a way that I'm like, oh, yeah, I want to see what happens next. So I'm a little torn because it is disappointing as a tie-in show, but on its own, kind of how I feel about Enterprise. As a science fiction show, it's decent. As a Star Trek show, I don't care for it, you know. Yeah. And I think that can be said here, although I probably am much kinder to this than Enterprise. So yeah, I'm gonna give it a nice 7 out of 10 here.
Okay, well, that's gonna do it. It's a very short episode. You know, I imagine it's gonna be on Netflix for a while, so it's something to watch if you are bored waiting for other kaiju shows. Where can folks find us, Miles, if they want to chat about Skull Island?
Well, if you want to chat with us about Skull Island, you can email us at kaijuversushistory@gmail.com. You can post to us Blue Sky Kaiju vs. History. You can go visit our website, kaijuversushistory.com. Please rate and review our show, comment, share with your friends, let us know what you think. Hop on our sister podcast, CosmicCrit.com. There's a Discord link right there. There's a Kaiju versus History channel that you can talk to Patrick and I in real time about Kaiju news, your own opinions about certain Kaiju movies, what Kaiju stuff you're getting into. We've had a lot of people on the Discord talking about some of the goodies they got for the holidays, especially some shipments from SRS Cinemas, who I feel like we probably should get some sort of sponsorship from.
yeah, no, our buddy Kyle on there picked up, yep, Visual Cleaned Bandits. Yeah.
So yeah, check out our Letterboxd account, see our reviews, and watch our list of films. Patrick, what are we doing next week?
Okay, thank you, Miles. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We're going to travel back in time next week to look at a previously unreleased film from the Full Moon Features catalog and ask the question and answer, can a film that was supposed to be released in the 1990s with stop motion technology from the 1960s survive a 2020s debut? So watch along with us, find out as we tune in for History versus the Primevals.